I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a,
Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors. Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avier Wealth Management, and Apex Men's Clinic. We appreciate their support.
Yo, Gloom listeners, it's The Plague, and today I'm talking about getting your finances as fit as your physique. Our very own F3 Omaha brother, Jean-Claude, aka Michael Pfluger, at Avior Wealth Management, specializes in building personalized financial plans. He understands the journey you walk in life as a man of faith, safeguarding your family, and creating a legacy. Jean-Claude is ready to help you plan your finances with intention so that you can live with purpose. And that's just the beginning when you work with the Avior Wealth team. Visit avior.com/F3. That's AVIOR.com/F3. And see how Michael can guide your financial journey today.
Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. I'm excited to get this guy's story out there. It's been fun kind of watching him and several family members get involved in F3. And yeah, I've got our man Snowman on the show today and really was recently a leader at Cornhusker Handicap, really keeping things moving and shaking on the east side there. But Snowman, it's good to see you. You look good. And curious if you would just take us back to the beginning, sort of who EH'd you, if you remember what the first workout was like. We always like to give the cue a hard time if you remember whether it was a difficult workout or not. And then tell us how you got the name Snowman.
Absolutely. Well, hey, first and foremost, Plague, thank you so much. It's good to be here. I know we had a little pre-talk here. I'm new to this myself, but now my interest is peaked here, so I'm gonna have to check some of these out moving forward. But first and foremost, so my brother, which was Sandy Cheeks, I'm sure you know, he kind of made his way around some of the old sites for a while there. He's currently in the Marine Corps, so he's not really working out with us much, but I believe he's coming back for Labor Day. So he's kind of the one that got nice. The whole ball rolling here. And really, I guess it's beyond him. He's kind of the one that gave us the ultimate nudge to get us out. But you had Stapler. Yeah. Stapler was he's really the only reason anybody ever heard about F3. So and you know, everybody who knows him knows that that's always a pleasure to be around him and just a great dude overall, which come to find out, you know, what are we coming up on 3 years, I believe. Wow. No, 2 years, 2 years. I'm sorry. Not three. But yeah, so it's and everywhere you look around, it's just all good people. Right. So I know it doesn't matter what site you're at or what day of the week, it's everybody's got the same message. So yeah, believe it or not, my dad, which is Caruso, and then now we've got my uncle, which is Woody, and then cousin Predator. Those are kind of the main ones still coming around. There was a blip we can get to later where we kind of had a flush of Waldron's kind of flood aside. We had eight people we named that day. So, and then they were all Waldron's or tied into the family somehow. But, yeah, so our first one, we went down to the canyon, and it was actually Frosty was on the queue. So I know Frosty's a great guy to have on the queue. Your first time coming out to Cornhusker, you know, everybody at least knows who he is when they ask who named you and everything like that. So our first day out, it was raining, and we were down at the canyon, and Frosty said, "Hey, I got a real something special." I forget exactly what sparked his beat down that day, but it was there was something. It was either Suicide Awareness Month, week, I'm unsure, but that was basically the gist of the COT that day as well. And Frosty was like, "Hey, we're gonna head over, you know, the canyon's over in Gene Leahy over there," and he's like, "We're gonna head over past the CHI or what, yeah. You know, whatever it's called these days. I don't know if the bank owns it now or whatever, if it's still CHI, but he's like, we're going to head that way. I got something special over there that means a lot to me. So my dad's sitting there, I'm sitting there, you know, I fresh off the couch, you're kind of like, yeah, that doesn't seem like overly close. Lots of work. You know, we end up, we're jogging and Frosty's kind of stopping every now and again. And we're doing, you know, monkey humpers at the street and whatnot. So we're pushing down, just kind of figuring out like what all, everyone knows how that first day is. You're like, I don't really know what's going on, but I know everybody's just loving it right now. It's making me love it. So it's raining on us. We, long story short, we get past the CHI and down by the bridge and, there was a bench over there that was dedicated to, it was one of Frosty's, I believe, good friend's sons. If I'm remembering it all correctly, come to think, I haven't really talked to him much about it since that day, but, I kind of remember it clearly, I believe. So yeah, I believe it was his friend's son who had committed suicide and they had, put that bench out there in honor of him. And Frosty brought us all over to it, which was just awesome. You know, this is our first day. We're not real sure what's going on. Everybody's throwing weird names around and saying all that free lingo. And so next thing you know, Frosty says, hey, we had a PAX member with us. Frosty said, hey, got a PAX member that wants to share something. He said, so let's head to the top of the hill. So we went to the top of the hill. And then it got really deep, but, you know, it was like one of those things where it kind of set the pace for what the entire F3 journey has been so far. And the PAX member just sat there before us all. And, you know, he was just down there for the beatdown, not necessarily anything to do with Frosty. I don't believe any of it was coordinated. And he said, I'd like to say something. So we get to the top and he had told us his story about, you know, some dark times and, the bridge that we were looking at, he's like, there was a point in time where I was like, you know, I was contemplating jumping off of that bridge right there. We were all like, holy cow. So, you know, and I mean, that's not even just a first day thing. That was just like everybody gets that humanity thing going where you're like, that is deep. But, you know, like, thank God you're here doing this with us. We thought it was bad running over here. Then you get to the end and it was just kind of everything came full circle. And it was all in all, my dad was not very happy with the amount of ride. I believe it was 2.3 miles clocked on the Garmin watch. But, you know, he was that was rough on him. But, hey, he's still coming out to this day. So, you know, it was one of those things where it was just a great deal all around. Still raining the entire time. You know, we're getting back. Doing exercises the whole way. I don't know if you want to jump in. I was going to say, I think the next thing you had was the naming.
Yeah. Walk us through that. Yeah. I would love to hear how'd you end up with Snowman? Yeah.
I joke around frequently cause I just say, I don't actually know, but, it was one of those Frosty things. Like we got that day we had Caruso and Snowman were the two names that Frosty came up with. For my dad and I. So, you know, they asked me about myself. From what I can remember, I just told them about my time in the Marine Corps, kind of what I did there. At the time I had, just started, a business that was dispatching truck drivers. That's no longer, we'll leave it at that. But, you know, that was kind of all like the fresh stuff going on there. So I'm saying that like, hey, I worked at Warner when I got out, I was a logistics guy in the Marine Corps. I ran like a motor pool and this and that. And then, Frosty just goes Snowman. He's like, yeah, Smokey and the Bandit. And that was all he said. And it was like, you know, the trucking guy and everything. I'm like, I've never in my life have I seen it. So I had nothing profound, honestly, from my point of view. I was just like, okay, that's it. So for the longest time I joked, but hey, Frosty still stands by it to this day. If he's around, I'll throw a little subtle jab at him and he'll just, everybody knows that is Smoking funny. Bandit, yeah. So, hey, maybe I'm the oddball. I don't know that reference
either. That doesn't ring a bell, man. That's funny. You'll have to watch the movie, right?
Exactly. Well, that's the truth, and I believe it was from the show, if I'm not mistaken. He was saying from the TV show. He's like, "Yeah, the guy with the
hat." That's funny. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Well, what an experience, man, for your first workout, and definitely, you know, and that is quite a bit of running, right? Most of our workouts don't have 3 miles of running included. What was your initial impression? Like, did you feel like, you know, were you like hooked right away, or were you sort of like, oh, this is weird or too deep, or what was your kind of initial thought?
Well, to clarify, it was not quite three. It was like 2.3. Okay. It's still more than an average day, but not to be, I think it was 2.3.
It came felt like three now, for Caruso, right?
Caruso was not happy. You know, he's like, this was him off retirement, off the couch, you know? So it was much worse for him. I was much closer removed from the Marine Corps. And like, after I got out, I even did some like 75 hard and stuff. So I had at least had the mindset of working out, but I had tapered off significantly when we finally got yanked into it. It was like, okay, I need something. Yeah. I'm not doing it on my own. But for me, just because there were so many like stops along the way, forgive me. I don't know if they're the F3 terminology for the stops in the Marine Corps, they call it a fartlek. And that's when you would sprint and then you would stop and then, you do some exercise and then move on. So,
sometimes they'll call that like a string of pearls kind of workout, but yeah.
String of pearls. That's what I was going to say. I knew there was something. That's right.
Yeah. It's
very similar. Right. And it was all the way to this just awesomely like deep, impactful place for Frosty. And then you get the just PAX member who was tagging along that day and just getting additional like, wow. I apologize. I just went back to the moment there again. What was the,
you're good. Just your general, you know, overall thoughts. And I guess from a, like a first step kind of fitness perspective, was it comparable to, it sounds like it maybe was comparable to what you were used to doing from a workout kind of first step perspective.
I very familiar, like the structure, right? Maybe not so much because I would say most of the times I've done these kind of work, and you know, the coolest part about F3 is there's such an awesome mix of people that it's like you have that guy who's, whether you're trying to push him or not, he's pushing himself to the max, and it just kind of drives the people that are looking for that, or that you got the broken guys. Caruso, I was running with Caruso that day, so you know, I wasn't sure. Gassed at all for the most part. It was kind of just making sure he was all right, getting there. I think the exercises were getting me more than the jogging place to place. But I think the coolest part was, we had the story at the end. We had PAX member in a wheelchair as well.
Waffle House, yeah.
And just all, everybody coming together, pushing him. It was like everybody's smiling. Everyone's, you know, it's almost impossible to walk away and be like, that's right. Weird. Like, that's why, you know, I find that extremely hard to come across. Some people I could understand, like you came out and you're like, ooh, I don't know if I'm trying to be out on blast and get that. Frosty has a great story. Anybody who hasn't heard Frosty's intro story, that it's, you know, I could see that mindset. I would understand it, but, as far as where I was from is it was just like you just saw how scalable it was, and truly no one cares. If you want to walk, you want to be the last guy there. If everybody's cruising and you want to just stay back and work out, it's, you know, it's beautiful across
that's
the board,
awesome.
Isn't it?
Awesome to hear. What would be curious, what was your, do you remember, like, what was your second workout then? Did you go that Monday, or did it take you a while to kind of get into the rhythm, or what was that progress like?
So we did. We came out hot and heavy, actually. So we went to Monday.
Ironwood,
Ironwood. We went to Ironwood. I forget his name. Merit Badge. There you go. Wow, pulled that one from deep down. That's been a long time. Maybe one time since then I've seen him. But that was... He had us out there doing, I couldn't tell you what we ran around the park. There was just a lot of miscellaneous. And then at one point there was kind of like a, mm-hmm. a bowl out there in the park where it was like a hill over here, came down in a flat valley and then went up a hill. So he would have you like sprint one way and then you would do an exercise there. And then it was Bernie Sanders, the exact it was brutal. That one was like a little sore from Saturday, just from all the monkey humpers and weird stuff I hadn't been doing. And then just getting right back. But at that point, it was kind of like hook, line, and sinker. You met a lot of the same guys going to that site. But then you met some new ones. And then it just kind of evolves from there. And yeah, there's really no bad.
I love it. And did you start partaking in like pre-runs or any or pre-rucks or any of that sort of stuff? Or how sort of far down the first step journey did you go?
No, I didn't so much. So I did the February. It was really cool.
Oh, CSOP. CSOP.
Wow. Okay, there you go. So I did the CSOP the first year, and a lot of that I was not a pre-runner. That's not I wasn't a runner in the Marine Corps. I had enough to get my numbers I needed, but no one you would ever meet that knew me then would tell you I was a runner. So that's I'm A-okay with that, by the way. So I went out. I have gone one morning. I met Rocket out at I met Frosty out there and ended up running with Rocket. And we did did Shirley Street before. I believe it was Cornhusker.
That's brutal.
Yeah, you probably are not going to see me very often here. That was three of, like, I was gassed. And then good for those guys, though. Rocket said he couldn't get it the first time, and he's out there every week. He's like, I try to tackle.
That's awesome.
Points. You know, guys, they're across the
board too. Shirley's one of those F3 Omaha sort of landmarks of, like, you know, if you're going to go to Cornhusker, right, you might as well pre-run Shirley and try to –
Yeah, if you're making a guest appearance and you're not going to be back for a while, you might as well just.
Yeah, for sure. Early, you know? Well, tell us, you know, kind of thinking about, we got fitness and then fellowship the second half, right? And sort of around like relationships. So curious, you know, you came out right with your dad, and then you've got your brother, you've got the uncle, cousin. So sort of a family affair kind of deal. But would be curious, like, has being in F3 together had any impact on those relationships at all?
I mean, I would say absolutely. So as far as my dad and brother, at least since I've got back at this point, so my brother's 9 years younger. So a lot of the time, like growing up, that it was like we actually spoke two different mm-hmm. languages. It was kind of weird. You know, he had the like stuff I didn't understand what he was talking about, but it was like the hip stuff I'm sure we were doing to our parents that we just didn't realize and we're rolling with it. But aside from that, never a bad relationship across the board. And then I think once I got out and we were kind of like closer in age or, you know, he was finishing up college and stuff, it was all good. So I think more so those relationships are kind of what maybe started the journey rather than strengthened along. Now, as far as like my uncle and cousin, it's good stuff. So Woody and Predator, you know, Predator has like form of Down syndrome and I believe autism, if I'm not mistaken. And it's mm-hmm. just great to have him out there. You know, even every family event, I just walk up to him. We all give it to him. You know, he loves it. He eats it up. And so, I mean, as far as that stuff's concerned, you can't beat that. That's just valuable time. Like my uncle and I, it was family events. Now it's like, you know, weekly more or less getting to see each other. So yeah, absolutely. I would say just good across the board. And I think what keeps everybody coming back, in all honesty, is just the people you run into. You know, it's going to coffee. That's the best part, really. And in the beginning, I'm sure Polaroid has a story. Polaroid's probably the reason any of this changed, because when we first started coming out, I believe it was Futurama that same, maybe 2 weeks after we had started, because we were going, I believe, 5 days a week. We didn't go back to the canyon, but we were going Monday through Friday for probably the first mm-hmm. month, I want to say. But it was second or third week of coming out, and we would just, because I would have to be back to my house by like, you know, 7:15 or so. And my dad was retired. That didn't matter. My brother didn't have to be until like 8. So he was kind of hoping to just burn some time in the morning. So he would hang out with us and we would just drink coffee on my dad's tailgate and like just sit there and chat and talk and everything like that. It's like, yeah, this is good stuff. Get done with the workout, just hanging out, drinking coffee. And then I can't remember, second or third week, like I said, in Polaroids, like, you guys are just going to keep drinking coffee? Something along these lines. I'm not going to quote him. He's like, you guys are just going to keep drinking coffee in the tailgate? You can come up to Starbucks. And he's like, everybody will be up there. It's Scooter. Yeah. I believe it's Scooter's down off Cap. Yeah, and he's like, everybody's going to be up there just talking. And we're like, all right, yeah, we'll go up there. Let's do it. You know, it's 5 minutes up the road or whatever. So, and then it was like kind of from that day on, you know, you get in there, you got Demogorgon, all the guys that are on that site. And it was just like, oh, this is good stuff. So then it was like coffee became part of the ritual, you know, and it was that's just kind of the snowball effect there.
I love it. I'm curious your thoughts on like the, you know, because we're, You mentioned Frosty's workout sort of about suicide, right? And you think about the high rates of male suicide, especially in our sort of age range. And then you start thinking about the causes and, you know, male loneliness, all that sort of stuff. So the, you know, kind of these relationships, right, can be key to helping us as men kind of work through life. But you might have had some of that, right, in the Marine Corps. So just kind of curious, like, any thoughts on like how to best go about developing some of those friendships for guys? I think for a lot of guys, it's maybe hard to do, but I don't know.
I wish I did. I don't have anything profound. I'm blessed to personally never have had to deal with any of those issues myself. So I couldn't speak for it intelligently, but, from some of the COTs even, right? Like some guys, the best part about F3 is it's like guys typically don't go, you know, maybe you do. I'm not saying generally, but over females or like youth, like guys are not going to go to like counselor. They don't really go paid. They're going to internalize from what I've seen, you know? And really just getting out at a place like this where it's like, from the very get-go, you hear like, oh, no, you can just modify and just not do something if you don't want to do it. And it's like, yeah, I'm not going out there to like not do the exercise that everybody's doing. Well, then when you start realizing like, well, there's guys at every site who are going to modify one way or another. So it's like this thing, just getting out there. Sorry, I about went on a weird tangent right there. But I think getting out there and like and being around guys, like you get those – you hear guys COT and it's about, hey, you've heard more than me, Plague. You know how it is. It's like, you never know what's coming. And that's another beautiful thing about it is it's, and I think that's kind of what it is. Cause if you had asked me prior to if something like F3 would have appealed to me, like more than likely the answer was no, like this, that doesn't seem like it fits my personality very well, but that's just like that was a terrible you know, the preconception made no sense. You come out and it's like, well, it's impossible to not find at least one person you can relate to about something in this group, and that people are gonna force it out of you. I'm not gonna this is part of my personality. Like I'm saying, I don't initiate many conversations. I'm not gonna like be the guy who's the first one to talk. But if you're that guy to me, I'm very receptive to come back and have a very vocal conversation. I probably ramble more than I should when that's there, but it's but I'm not the guy who initiates that. So it's possible to go to a site where there's not that guy who's going to initiate conversation amongst the whole group, you know? Yeah. So it's just not to be completely off topic there, but if I had to guess, just getting out there and that, like, just seeing for yourself what those guys are actually willing to do for you. Cause it's not insincere. I've never seen an insincere anything, you know, like everybody who says it, they truly mean it. Now whether you take it or not, like I'm one who like tries to avoid the like take help when you can. Maybe if I need it, you know, being psyched you. I certainly needed help. And if it wasn't for Polaroid and Gunner kind of like, hey, can we help you with anything? It was like, I wasn't going to ask for help. And that's a fault of mine. But, you know, that's the coolest part is you've got those guys who and that's me just. You know, a change of work and kind of like life situation going on with kids hitting a weird age we had never seen before. And a lot of these like personal life things coming up was affecting like how often I can get out to workouts anymore. And, you know, and I'm sitting there just kind of like, okay, this is a 1 day a week thing. I must have this right. Well, I was struggling for a while. I was like chasing the tail, like trying to book maybe a week out, you know, maybe if I'm lucky, I got 3 weeks booked. And then I was like, okay, that's next week's problem. So, and I think those guys sensed that luckily, and they came in and were just like, hey, how can we help? You
that's
know,
awesome.
They're not going to let you fail. That's the cool part about F3, I think, is that they truly.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And I think you're kind of touching on something that, you know, a lot of us as men are we struggle with that, right? We don't ask for help until it's too, you know, way far down the road until we've, you know, failed. And what do you think it was that allowed you to receive that help or just the fact that they offered was enough to say, yeah, I'll take it?
Oh, 100% it was just his honesty. And you know, the part that made me feel, I was like, Polaroid had put on there, like, I don't want to make you feel like, but like, if you need some help, he's like, I've noticed you're kind of like trying to fill some slots like last minute, which I was, it was ugly for, yeah, there was, hey, some might argue the whole time, but who knows, you know, there was only a couple of times where it was booked out in advance, I guess. And just that point in time, I was like, you know, at first I was kind of like, ah, man, then I'm like, well, he's like asking you, and he was just like full up front. Like, I don't want to feel like you to feel like I'm stepping. I just, if you would like it, it's there. Like, well, absolutely. You know, everybody who knows that guy knows that's a top tier dude right there. Yeah. So he's just
I love it. Curious, you kind of mentioned your kids there. Have you gotten them out to a workout at all? You brought them to a 2.0?
I have not. So my daughter is 6. Okay. My son's 5. So I haven't. Yeah, I don't. I mean, he might come out. I don't know what that looks like, but maybe someday.
Sometimes we do like a 2.0 Halloween workout or something. I know I have two daughters. Yeah. I tried to bring one of them and I basically just was carrying her the whole time, right? She didn't want to be there. Yeah. So, hey, Gloom listeners, it's the Plague. Question for you. Are you ready to perform at your peak? Well, our man P-Soup and the Apex Men's Clinic is here to help you achieve optimal health. Whether it's managing general health concerns, recovering from injuries, or optimizing your hormones, they have you covered. Their comprehensive services include testosterone replacement therapy, cutting-edge treatments, and personalized care plans tailored just for you. At Apex Men's Clinic, you're not just another number. Their expert team is dedicated to helping you feel your best. Visit apexmensclinic.com today to schedule a free consultation. At Apex Men's Clinic, it's men's health done right. Well, curious, you know, as you think about then the third F, kind of the faith piece, would love to just hear your journey, maybe, you know, throughout the years, what's been your journey from a faith perspective?
Well, I'll just leave it at it. As far as like faith, I'll just speak generally. Like, excuse me, I'm sorry, get that out of the way. Like personally, I'm Catholic, but I don't even think it personally. I don't see how that does F3 any justice for me to declare that or even say it out loud. Cause in all honesty, the majority of people that go up, you may have a sense of like, okay, this, you know, this guy, the way he's speaking or closing out in prayer is like, okay, he's comfortable with God. Like, I assume he's some sort of Christian religion. Other people, you just have absolutely no idea. And they'll say Sky Q the whole time. And you're like, well, I think the beauty of it all is it's like, well, the end of the day, I think it's all in the eye of the beholder. Like there are those generalized guidelines, which for the most part, deep down, we're all going to know. But whether, you know, whether you follow any religion or not, or you're actually anti-religion, I don't believe it matters, because even people who are anti like structured religion can find their own, hopefully the goal is to find their own peace, you know? And I think that's all like self-reflection comes from that a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, any way you look at it, whether it's inward or, you know, or outward, and you're seeking those answers. I think that's the overall purpose of religion. So when you come out and it's like, you have the freedom to sit there and be, cause it's like fitness, fellowship, faith. Well, a lot of people might just be like, oh, faith, I'm not going to a church group. And it's like, oh, look, it is so not a church group at all. That kind of frightened my dad, funny story, side story here, but yeah. Right off the bat. So, you know, I was out, we were running. It was that Monday, the same work I was telling you about, merit badge. So, we were running, and I just remember, I was like, oh, I was burned out doing like Bernie Sanders. And, you know, I wasn't that far removed from the military. I'm not as like self-conscious about like if I say a cuss word out loud, whereas like, yeah. My dad, like, you know, that's like the worst thing to do in front of people you don't like 100% know is to like cuss. Well, I started cussing because I was like, whatever it was, you know, just a normal banter out there while we're rolling. And I'm just, oh, and he's like, dude, you can't be doing, you know, you can't be doing that. And I think that was kind of the mindset in the beginning, was it was like, this is like a religious thing. We got to see how this goes. Which is, I would say that's what's also awkward, even in the Catholic faith, you know, is like there's ways you can do it. And there's like the by the book, like you either 100% mm-hmm. in or you're 100% out. And it's like, well, I don't personally believe in that. I think there's good in everything. And we're all going to mess up at a thing or two here and there. It's just trying to mitigate that is the overall message to, I'd say, humanity over just, faith in humanity is maybe more so, but I personally think it's just awesome how it works. You know, there's some guys, they're not Catholic like me, and I love perspectives like that. You know, how are you ever going to, and if you listen to it, it's like you can almost hardly distinguish. The overall message is almost always the same, you know, or along mm-hmm. the same guidelines. It's vastly different. We'll leave it. It is vastly different, but the flow of it is like it's all for positivity. There's no negativity coming out of those prayers.
Yeah, I love it. And I love this story. You know, it is interesting, right? Because it's if you just come into the group, right, and you hear us say fitness, fellowship, and faith, we don't necessarily go into detail on what we mean by that. So then you could interpret that, you know, in many different ways. And, you know, I think for me, I totally agree with you. I think the coolest thing is like we create space for guys to figure out what they believe, you know, and ultimately the way we do that is they get to be around guys that have different beliefs and ask questions, have deeper conversations, you know, and really come up with, hey, here's the belief system I'm going to apply to my life. And, I've always appreciated that. I think when I think when I came into the group, I was sort of like, you know, thinking it was more of a Christian group. And then you realize over time, like, that's not really what we need in the world, right? We don't necessarily need more religious groups pushing an agenda. We just need a space for guys to, you know, be able to dialogue about that stuff. So I love it.
No, that was very well put. Yeah. I wish I had thought of it that way, but if you think about it, like taking a hard stance or like saying, hey, like the religion and it's been a while since I've read Free to Lead. But I believe he even mentions that when he just talking about the third F is it's like, this isn't about Jesus or guy, if I'm not mistaken, paraphrase just briefly, but I believe that was the overall thing. This is not directed at anyone. Yeah. It's directed at everyone, you know? So.
Heck yeah. I love it. Well, you know, curious, cause there's also kind of this other side of the third F with like community service and that sort of stuff. Have you had an opportunity to participate in any of those events or with young kids? My guess is maybe not, but I don't know.
I was going to say have an opportunity. Like I've been around when they've been there and I have not executed on any of them. No, I haven't. I know Gunnar was asking for help for something and we ended up getting a tree job that weekend and work. No, I have not. So.
Yeah, that's all right. What, you know, some of it too, is like within F3, we've got all these different things, right? There's, you know, now we're up to 70 workouts, you know, that you could choose from per week. We got second F and third F and happy hours and all this stuff. And I think one of the challenges is sometimes guys feel like they have to do all the stuff to, you know, but that's not really the case. I don't know. What's been your experience?
No, I would say 100% that's not the case. As far as there's the CSOP, which is still a beat down. That was irregular for me because usually the weekends were like at family's home and, other than that, we went down to, over in La Vista, the brewery. Was it Kincaidor? Is that right?
Cross Train, maybe?
Yes. So they had a whatever event there. So we went to that. But then, I mean, outside of that, no, it hasn't been. I haven't done too many of the extracurricular things. But I mean, even like that, right? You go up there, everybody's drinking some beers. It's like most people I didn't know. And the coolest part is, you're all there for the same reason. It doesn't actually matter. What's your name? Oh, Snowman. You know, and then it's just like, okay, well, here we go. We're just right back into it. It's like showing up to any other beatdown, you know?
Yeah, I love it. The other piece of this, you know, as you think about the mission, right? So reinvigorating male community leadership. And we try to do that with, you know, you do a VQ and then we try to give you opportunity to lead the site. And I'm curious, do you remember your VQ at all? Is that something you remember?
Yeah, I actually relived it. It wasn't at like the year mark, but I had found the paperwork from, you know what?
Oh, you got it right there.
No, not down here anymore. Okay. I was going to say, I think I brought it in because, with Backblast, I believe at the time, but, so what it was, it was at Cornhusker and, we went over into the East garage.
Okay.
And so it was basically like each floor. So we would start and I just remember sitting there like, how can we make this? Thinking like, can we get two full rounds? Like, how's it going to go? Is it going to stop at each floor? But we were running the ramps, not the stairs.
Nice.
So it started. Yeah, I kind of made it rough. I just remember like, okay, this is the first one. It's got to be good. I came out and like the intro and stuff, I had like prepped the night before. I was like, okay, yeah, make sure you don't mess this up in the very beginning. So I was like, full intro, like ready to go. And it just came out perfectly. Everything flowed 100% perfect on the, I think there was 32 people there.
Wow.
It came out, just flowed perfectly. And I just remember Frosty was like, that might have been the best VQ intro or whatever it was. And I was like, nah, okay. So killed that.
Nailed
one.
It. Yeah.
Like, well, here we go. So, Othello was there and I remember cause we ran into the garage and I started. So I was like, I wanted the first floor to be like all the things I hated to do. So it was like chicken peckers, I think is how we started it. And it was 30 of them in cadence. It was ugly. So it was a lot of like 30 reps of like basically everything. And I had like, I want to say 3 or 4 exercises per floor. I tried to switch the muscle groups per floor. And then by the time we hit the top, it was just core. But it was like doing I think it's Cindy Crawford, like the oblique, like. So we did those and yeah, I was running. It was like doing 30 counts of most everything. So I think it was like chicken peckers and holding balls of the wall. It was a lot of shoulders down low.
Yeah.
And then we got up and I remember like very, it was like we hit the second, maybe it was by the third floor, but I want to say it was as early as the second floor when I yelled out like 30, whatever the next floor was. Like Othello was like, oh, that's loud. That was awesome. And I was just like, oh, okay, maybe you're not so cool for doing that. Like, yeah, you probably wouldn't be all right with sitting up getting murdered. And I was the only one who knew what was coming. You know, that's half the battle, I think. If you don't know what's coming and you got to keep hearing 30, it's probably not great. But we made it all the way through, came back down, and I think we did half reps for the second round all the way up, and it was perfect timing, made it back over. And I think it was just rancid hammers on the way out. And
that was... That's awesome. There's something, it seems like we always do 20 reps of stuff. So when you do 30, it just 10 more for whatever reason seems to be brutal. I don't know why, but
that was my, I think that was my thought process. Like, don't just do what you're
just
used
do 30.
To,
yeah. I love it. Well, talk us through, you know, the other pieces, like taking over a site, and we'll just be curious. You shared a little bit about your experience, but talk us through when, you got selected to take over, and kind of what was that experience like for you?
Yeah. So, actually it was how many months? I believe I was like 7 months in or so, give or take. I think it was May. It was five. So I was probably eight coming up on like 9 months in. And I just remember, actually, I think it was real cold out when it had initiated, and Blackjack was just like, yeah, what do you think about taking over the site? And I'm like, all right. You know, and I just kind of like floated it out there, and he didn't say anything for a while. And then he's like, oh, I need somebody for the site. He was saying one morning, somebody was like, didn't Snowman say, like, he would? He's like, well, I didn't think that was serious. He's like, were you serious? And I was like, I mean, yeah, if you need somebody to take the site, I'll take the site. At the time, like, my mornings were free. Like, everything was wide open. It was perfect timing for, it was like, I mean, I'm here. I think at that point it was down to like 4 days a week. I don't remember which day I was skipping, but, that was how it kind of like started. It was like, oh, okay, perfect. Well, then Tater Tot's like, yeah, you got to read Free to Lead. I want to say I ordered it at that moment. I don't think I had a copy at that point, but I can't remember the timeline there if I was dug in or not. But so I ordered it there, and then we just kind of set the date, and it went from there. So then I took over in May, and then It was like right off the bat. I think it was early May, I want to say. I'm not sure
exactly. Somewhere we've got the date, right?
Yeah, the date's somewhere. Somebody's
it's in PaxNet or something, right?
And, took over from there. And then it was like June, I got a new job and like actually stopped doing the business, which had my mornings free. And then my mornings got consumed with the new job, and it was it was hectic for a while. Just making it one day a week was like, I had to be like, hey, I can't do it. Most of what I do is morning work, so it's like, I need Tuesday mornings off. So that's kind of why that was kind of the snowball that got me into this, like chasing the tail. And it was I had a couple COTs throughout where it was just like, you know, full disclosure, it was like I had to prioritize, like, you know, something here or there. And and maybe that was one of them. I couldn't tell you if Polaroid was there or not, but I know I tried to be honest. If I was having my COT, I would just say, like, you know, I haven't been given this love it needed. I'm getting swamped here. You know, I got a whole life change myself trying to figure it out. I took this on when I was in a much better place to facilitate. So, I mean, to me, it was a bumpy road, but the cool part was, is anytime Gunner, Polaroid, Tater Tot, anybody reached out, it was never like what's going on. It was always just like, hey, can I help you? Like, what can I do to help you? There was never, you know, never any ill will. It was more so just me being like, you know, in my own head about it. I never once. It was always just positive. Like, what can I do? Let me know. And when Tater Tot's saying that, that'll make you feel like, oh, wow, what am – how did I mess up this bad that this guy juggling the same things I'm talking about over here is also running every site and that that's a whole nother thing. So Twitter, I didn't have a Twitter before F3, yeah. And I'm god awful at the social media and kind of the electronic stuff. I'll say I'm not a wizard with it, and intentionally got off like the social media a while back, which was awesome. I think it was great stuff, but then
yeah,
like, okay, this Twitter's different. Well, then when you're running like the site Twitter, I'm like, oh my Lord, that was a whole world I never wanted to enter. And I was like, mm-hmm. That was the happiest thing when I told Polaroid, I'm like, I'm not getting on Twitter for like a year and a half now that this thing's gone.
Yeah.
That was a shell shock. Not to sound like the old man who looks young on camera here, but that was brutal on me. I did not enjoy the Twitter game. And that, oh, yeah. And then Slack came around, right? PaxNet was awesome, though. And I guess I'm sure it's even improved since I pulled it up. But towards the end, it was like, yes, please just give me one place to look
for one spot. Yeah.
Everything. And that, hey, that's very promising. It looks like
nothing but good. Well, I appreciate the honesty, you know, because I think sometimes we overlook, like, there's a lot of different pieces of the puzzle for our site queues, right? It's not, you know, and it's not just as simple as like trying to find guys to put on the schedule, right? And I think, you know, just appreciate your honesty. And like you said earlier, you know, your willingness to receive the help, you know, when somebody said, hey, how can we help you? What do you need help with? And being able to, you know, I think that takes a lot of courage, right? As a man that, you know, you're like, you know, a lot of times we just want to be stoic and say, we got it under control. But, and, you know, one of the things that Freed to Lead talks about is sort of the flux, right? Just like the ups and downs of life. And some of this stuff we can't plan for, but how are things going today from sort of the work, sort of life concentrica kind of perspective?
I'd say it's better. You know, as far, I think it was, it might have been just a personal, I'm not overly sure. Like I said, I didn't give it probably the greatest it needed, but it was, as far as how I go now that there's no obligation where if like I miss a Tuesday, I haven't done this yet. I'm sure if anybody who's out there on, you know, Tuesday, runs around Stinson Park might be like, yeah, I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. Well, it has been a couple of weeks, but I'm coming off vacation season. The kids just started school back. So
yeah,
I had a couple excused absences the last couple of weeks.
There you go.
You know, but that's, but as far as that's concerned, like my schedule kind of is fluid. So it's really just fill in, like get into restaurants whenever they'll allow us in before they fire everything up is kind of what my workflow is. So most days, if I make it to the beat down, I'm not getting to make coffee anymore, but I wouldn't say that's all for the worse. Like what, if I could have it the other way, I'd love to go to coffee every day. But I mean, it's also valuable because if I take all that time off and then just show up to coffee on a day I can make it, it's like, nothing's really changed. Everybody's, you know, you're just getting all the, like the good F3 love floating around. So.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I've noticed that we had a baby in 2021 and took a month off and then came back and you just pick up where you left off. Yeah. Right. It's, you know, the guys are, and everybody understands, right. You got to do what you got to do for your family. And for sure. And
they're happy to see you every time, you know?
Yeah. What about, passing the flag to Polaroid? Polaroid ended up taking the flag there. How did that go? And, was he interested in, or how did you kind of select or land on him as the successor?
Yeah, I know he wanted that to be the story that the flag passed. I was like, hey, he was very honest again. He's like, look, he apologized for being direct later. And I'm like, dude, like, thank you. Seriously. Do you know, like how long it might have gone before I actually like just thought I was going to find somebody around the corner to take this thing over. Like, no, you just made my life way easier. But he was apologizing. He like sent, and it really was not this like aggressive thing that he makes it sound like. It was he was like, "Hey, Snowman, just to let you know, like I think your time's coming up or whatever." And he's like, "I just want to let you know, I've never been a site queue before. So if you're looking for somebody," and I was like, "Well, that's awesome." I can't tell you what my response was, but it was that was early. That was maybe February, March. I'm not somewhere in that time frame. And then so yeah, like as it progressed, just like, "Hey, you still cool with this?" Well, I think he was hungry for it. Like he was like, "Okay," he had taken on even the, you know, him and Gunner doing the whole East Side kind of helping Tater Tot out there. So he had already like taken on this stuff. And I think he was just like, "Hey, I haven't done it yet. Like I would love it to be Cornhusker essentially." And I'm just like, "Well, hey,
let's go." Yeah.
Yeah. What's the guy to say? So, you know, I was extremely thankful because it was like, "Oh yeah, who knows? Who knows what it would have looked like other than that?" But yeah, I was thankful for it for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting, right? Because Polaroid's been helping with website and tech stuff and then sector queue roles forever, right? And so, you know, it's probably one of those where it's like, "Oh yeah, I've never been a site queue yet. Maybe I'll go that route." No, I love it. What, you know, one of the things we love to get from guys is just like, I don't know, maybe advice. Maybe it's advice from life or your time in the Marine Corps or just, you know, your time in F3, anything that maybe as you've interacted with guys or anything that you would be willing to share is sort of something you've learned that you think other guys could benefit from.
Oh, yeah, that's
kind of a deeper question.
Yeah, I was just saying, that's a tall order. I not to keep trending back to this, but honestly, I found that like a lot of what I say around certain times is based on like what I'm reading. So I don't go like super philosophical or like just started reading some like Carl Jung, and that's a whole other rabbit hole. Like rereading something to figure out what you just read. But I guess in all honesty, is it's with all the political, like you name it, we'll just say the hot topics in the U.S. is for the most part, like although it's always like cast in a negative light because it's all extremely negative. When you sit down and you like actually talk to the people that you had no idea existed in the same city that you existed in, whatever it is, same organization, if you want to scale it out from F3, whatever it is there's those people are all good. You know, I don't have any other profound way to say it. As I'm sitting there, it's like, when you talk to the actual like human beings that are like you within your similar environment, whatever that environment is, for the most part, there's those people where you could elect to say like, okay, at work is a big one. Cause I feel like work, everybody's a different personality than maybe not, but it's going to be more often than not, you're going to get a different personality than the friendship person. Well, the good thing about F3 or like people you want to be around or anything like that, is everyone's good. Everybody wants the same thing. And in all reality, when you look at the media and all this and that, and they want to tell us what all of our differences are and why that's bad. Well, I think it is terrible when you lay that out there and everybody does take a stance on it. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure I've had a single political conversation at F3 or going to coffee. So, you know, when you just get down to the bare bones of like, hey, we're all just guys coming together to work out, to just be better people for ourselves and for the community. It's I think more times than not, that's kind of should be the baseline for people. There are the exceptions to the rule, but as far as I found, that's Marine Corps. You know, everybody, if you take personality out of it, like, hey, our personality sucks to somebody else. You know, they don't like my personality. I'm sure people don't like your personality. No matter how hard you try, and I can say that with certainty, it's like somebody is not going to like the way you do what you do. But at the end of the day, if you get rid of all these like hot topic talking points, like politics, huge one, it's like, you know, if you don't see eye to eye, who cares? Like, it, you know, like moving on, like save that for November and whatever, you know, or if you want to make that your life purpose, like live it out. It's not necessary everywhere. And I would say overall, everybody's on a positive trajectory when you talk to them, real talk. So,
well, I love that you went there, you know, and that, you know, because I think you're spot on. Right. And maybe that was some of your rationale for not being on social media, right? Is because if that's where you go and you look and, you know, the news, social media, it just blows these things out of proportion. And I think we can forget that, like you said, like when we just focus on the guy standing next to us, right, and the purpose for us being out there and our shared goal around bettering the community, like you said, like even if you disagree on an issue, like who cares? Let's, you know, have dialogue, agree to disagree and move forward, you know, trying to be better and make the world a better place, you know. And I love that because I think F3 is one of the rare places where that happens, you know, on a daily basis. You've got guys that, you know, are doing that. So I really appreciate that, that insight. I would, you know, kind of as we're wrapping up here, one of the last questions we like to ask is just based on you and currently what's going on in your life, where could you use prayers or encouragement? If we see out there, you know, what should we sort of nudge you on and check in with you on?
I mean, this isn't like Facebook official for my wife, who's still on Facebook, but my wife is pregnant, so baby number 3 on the way due in February, so I think she's getting close. She's like, well, yeah, what's that, just past the first trimester, I think she's 14 weeks, so there you go. Breaking news here to the public.
There we go.
Publicly, she is pregnant, and we don't know the gender yet. But our second child, which is our son, he came out, and his was a disaster. He caused all sorts of problems. He came out perfectly fine, and he roughed her up. So we weren't sure she, you know, we were able to get pregnant again or anything like that. So I'd say from there, we're already off on a blessing, and just hoping for all that to come healthy and hopefully a better delivery on this one than the last one. So.
Heck yeah, man. We got baby number 3 in October coming up.
Oh, dude, awesome. Right there, hey, there you go. So. Well, congrats.
Yeah, man. Oh, I love it. Congrats to you guys too. That's so cool. Well, this has been great. And it's been awesome just hearing your story, your perspective, and just appreciate you as a man, as a leader. You know, I think it's been great to get to know you and yeah, just appreciate you, man. We'll do a little name-a-rama here. I'll start us off. Okay.
All right.
Brandon Fleeharty, 38, the plague.
JJ Waldron, 32, snowman.
Nice, great job, man. And did you have a call sign, or has anybody come up with something funny to say after you say your name?
I've tested out, there was a couple times in the snow when I would pack like a little snowman, you know, I'd make snowman. It was always disastrous, but a couple laughs here and there when the snow was wet enough, but nope. Awesome. Nothing yet.
Awesome, man. Well,
figure out where the name came from, right?
Yeah, we got to check with Frosty on that. Figure that out. I love it. Cool. Well, appreciate the time today. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Thanks for having me. You as well, Plague.